Warning. The following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat, the Giddy Geeker, and Tiffany the Technician.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
And now, damn right they shot first, the hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
I only have one left.
Y'all are lucky. You missed all the poop jokes. There were no... Oh, well, wait.
There's poop story.
It wasn't a joke. It was a true story. Yeah.
But, you know, that's a behind-the-scenes look anyway. I don't know if we're supposed to talk about that.
Totally behind the scenes.
I was going to say behind the scenes.
We don't talk about poop club. That's rule number one.
First rule of poop club. You don't talk about poop club. The number two rule of poop club.
Oh.
Number two.
I thought the first good rule was potpourri.
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 In my Doctor Who bathroom, we have a little bottle that says "Keep calm and poop on," and
it's yes,
the,
nice,
the British Union Jack on it. So, hi Tiffany.
Hello. You're not even on.
Hello. Turn on your mic, love.
You had your pie mute on.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the pie, so I thought they might hear me salivating. So let me turn.
Do you want the other?
Off.
Do you want the rest of it? There's still one.
No.
For those people who just are joining us and didn't listen to the previous episode,
what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Please
listen
be aware that we are recording this on March 14th.
Yes.
So it's 3. I was like March
3rd.
14. How does that work? I can't math.
It's the
so 3.14.
Oh yeah.
So we had pie.
Yay, pie.
And we are joined by Callist Cosplay.
Hi.
And Joran Cosplay.
Hello.
And they are representing Aspicon. So go back. Don't even Aspicon. Go back and listen to it.
Yep.
But we are actually here for TV Week.
Yes, it's TV Week.
We like TV.
Yeah. So this
way
week,
too much.
We're talking about Amazon Prime's continuation of season one of The Tick.
Whoa.
So The Tick was a comic or animated series. For
it was a comic book. It was a comic book first. That,
yeah.
Indie comic book back in the day.
It was an awesome comic
New England Press, was it? Or, yeah.
That's the one I first got involved with The Tick was through comics.
Yeah.
And then it became a 2001 movie featuring Patrick Warburton. And
actually, it was an animated first.
Animated first.
TV show.
Yeah. With the voice of The Tick was played by the same guy who on this series was the voice of Midnight.
Yes.
So. Yep. And then,
sorry,
I'm really bad at doing this history. I don't know why I do this.
And then it was a live action series with Patrick Warburton as the Tick.
Yep.
And now he's an executive producer for this one.
Yeah.
Well, Deflator Mouse was in the animated series.
No, because we got Bat-Manuel.
Bat-Manuel.
Which was, what, Nestor Carbonell?
Yes.
Yes. So I have a t-shirt. Oh, I love it. I have a t-shirt at home that's the 66 Batman logo, but it says Bat-Manuel.
Bat-Manuel.
Oh, yeah.
And I joke when people comment on it, it's like, I don't just Batman, I Bat-Manuel.
You know, it's so funny because when they announced the first live action, I was so disappointed that they were changing Deflator Mouse.
But it worked so.
It worked so well.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't care.
Was that the actor who was in Lost?
Yes.
Yeah. That always trips me up now. Like, when I was watching Lost and I was like, why am I not taking this guy completely serious? And then I was like, Bat-Manuel is on the
Bat-Manuel.
Yes.
He's on the island. This is amazing.
Yeah, he's fun.
So the Amazon, no, don't apologize. The Amazon Prime series was written and directed by the same person who wrote the comic book, which was Ben Edlund, not to be confused with Robert Englund, who was on Elm Street.
He was in Charlotte recently too.
Yes. Yeah.
At a con where they did not have a quiet room, which unlike AspieCon. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I just
saw this post by Carol of like, I'm hiding in the corner, and I'm like, what corner were you at? Because you know, I heard it was
in the film room.
I heard it was insanely busy.
Not safe is what I heard.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad I didn't head out this year. Yeah.
That's, we're talking about Mad Monster Party.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, I didn't want to name it by name, but we did. Okay. Yeah.
There we go.
Well, and but the interesting thing, it's a great time, but it gets really crowded.
Yeah, a lot of celebrities.
Loud, very loud.
Well, and one of the comments has been is that a lot of the stuff that happens each year you don't hear about because it gets swiftly removed from social media. So any negativity doesn't stay. It's
slowly done away with, and it's like, okay,
not
guys,
slowly.
It's weird. Not slowly. It's quickly done away with. It's like when you got people jumping off the escalator because they can't get off the escalator. Maybe you should, do something about that.
Yeah.
Oh, I just received something.
We have a cease and desist
already.
What is
they
that?
They are on point, aren't they? It's been between cons too.
They are faster than the mouse.
Yeah. But I mean, and not for nothing. I mean, as somebody who runs an event, I'm always very cautious. But I tend to leave the negativity comments up and then address them directly.
Yeah. Address them.
That's the best way to do that. Yeah. To be honest.
Mm-hmm. I learned my lesson long ago when somebody. Many, many, many years ago, probably second year of the Geeks in existence, somebody came on and came onto our website. We used to have forum boards and said something very nasty about me.
What?
Just very, very mad. He was obviously very upset.
Mm-hmm.
And I addressed it directly, and he had a, it's telling us it's like time. The hour is now.
True. I have a watch that... It's very inexpensive and nice, but I don't have the directions, so it just does random stuff. And
as long as like Alexa randomly laughing at you, so for no reason.
That was creepy. Might, oh my God, so creepy.
But anyway, so
that's horrible.
But at that time I was asking for, donations to support the cause, and he had donated some money, and he brought that up, and so I promptly refunded him his $5 and left my, explanation of like, I didn't respond because I was at work.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm home, I'm happy to do that. And he was upset with a change I had made. And part of that, again, was because I have a full-time job and things were happening during the day that I couldn't monitor.
What?
And so, as a way of making sure that bad things didn't happen, I prevented, I put up certain safeguards.
Understandable.
Yeah. Which, by the way, pay for the group. My prerogative. But anyway, this was years and years ago. And I just left it up there. And I was very polite about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he realized what a a-hole he was. And he begged me to take it down. And I said, well, maybe there are others that feel like you do. And I want to make sure that they have an explanation they can go and refer to. And then he finally said, please take it down.
Well, there
and
you go.
And I was like, there you go. That's the way to deal with that.
Yeah.
If somebody has something
negative. Long story short, we're married.
Yeah.
I mean, it all she forgave me. No, that was not me.
Oh, my God.
You. It was not you.
That was well played, though.
Yes. I know. Excellent timing.
I know. But anyway, getting back to the tick. So this
So hold on. So we've got two great cosplayers with us. Not that you're not great, Carol.
I haven't cosplayed in years, though.
Yeah, but at Charlotte Comic Con, which is one of our local events.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you guys, I think it might have been two or might have been actually 3 years ago, there was a Chairface Chippendale costume.
What?
And I've never seen one, but
no
it was
way.
It was that's freaking brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant.
I think that same guy went to Dragon Con that year because he did like a black. Face mask.
Yeah.
It was a real chair.
And then the chair.
It was a chair.
Oh my
God. On his head.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
That's dedication.
For those of you who don't know, Chairface Chippendale is from the animated series.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's literally just, he's got a chair for a head. And he tried to carve Chairface into the moon.
I love characters like that.
Dastardly deed. Yeah.
Yeah, it stopped after CHA. So for the rest of the animated series, you just saw Cha on the moon.
The word chair face. I thought you were saying that he tried to, like, what is the thing?
What?
Was it like
dirty something? What are you talking about? I gotta know this move. Add this to my repertoire of stuff I'll never do. All
right. I'm having a really blonde moment, even though I have red hair.
Is it
what is that thing with the four presidents on it? What is that called?
Mount Rushmore.
Oh,
that's what I you know.
Oh
like,
my goodness.
I had pie. I had pie.
Oh no.
I have a sugar rush. Wow. I can't remember anything.
I've actually been there.
So I thought that you were trying to say that Chairface was trying to do like a Mount Rushmore and carve his face.
Oh, he went for the moon, baby. All the way to the moon.
Not the word.
Just the
That's what I was
just wanted his
But
name
because
on
of
the
look on your face when I was trying to explain Cha, I totally lost my train of thought. And all I could see is...
I thought you were going completely dirty. I was like, what is this move? I've never heard of the chair. What? I was like, four... And then
never
the
mind.
Prongs. Okay, you had an answer for that?
No, I did, and I'm just gonna not.
What you don't see is behind Mount Rushmore, there are four chairs where they're sitting.
It's, right. It's just butts,
and behind
like the
that,
back of it is just butts.
There is awesome. A doorbell, and behind that doorbell is the devil.
Good callback.
There
he is. Nobody heard. Oh wait a minute! No, that was on the. That was actually
at the very, very,
at the very
end.
Tip. That's right.
Tip of the.
It still is a sin if you just touch the tip of it. Sorry. Twist. It's still a sin.
Oh, my God. Hey, Tiffles.
Hello.
just want people to know you're still here.
So the tick.
So the
tick. Oh, yeah. So
yeah,
about
nothing.
That?
Just the tick.
Well, we talked about the cosplay and the animated series. And
there we go.
Oh, real quick, too. With the animated series, our friends at VizArt.
He always says real quick, and it goes off like 10 minutes. Anyway, go ahead.
Says the woman who just told an entire story on a comment on Facebook.
Right. What the hell?
Yes.
Just for that, I'm putting on extra glasses. This is the only for the Patreon viewers. There's no camera. In my head, there's a camera and a crew and everything.
And Patreon viewers.
Yeah.
We have a Patreon I haven't activated yet. So there you go.
Oh, yeah. So at VizArt Video, at least it was like a couple weeks ago, and they were on our podcast. There were the animated, had some animated action figures.
Oh,
like based
cool.
On, and they were sealed, which I couldn't believe.
No
and I was
way.
Like, this is crazy. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Real quick.
That's all. All right. That was quick. Fashion your story.
We will have words later.
All right.
Well, you know,
and
not
I won't
too many.
Stop at Cha.
So. In addition to, to Pi Day, it is Steak and Blowjob Day.
What? I'm sorry. What?
You know what? Cracks
you guys don't know that.
No.
Is it blowjob and a piece of pie?
It's actually Steak and Blowjob Day as well.
Oh,
steak
also,
and blowjob.
Yes.
Oh. What cracked me up was I got an email from Witch Witch today saying that it was National Potato Chip Day, and I'm like, yeah, because you don't sell pie, Witch Witch. You're just trying to come up with something. So
burn.
It's like for nothing else, come up with a pie.
Yeah.
For
so
the
this
day.
Is a month after Valentine's Day, so this is the guy's turn. It's Steak and Blowjob Day.
I'm gonna try the chair. I'm gonna forego that. And you're gonna call some.
Jordan's got to make a call.
Excuse me.
I know. Don't these mics just make you want to go? Hi there.
Hi. This is Jordan cosplay.
Oh my god.
You're on the air.
Uh-oh.
We don't have a phone for you to dial in, but if
this
you did,
this is Dusty.
Would
Rose.
You dial hard?
Can you guys talk slower?
As the only man in the room, this must be fun for you.
Yep.
This is
I'm gonna go wash my hands for 5 to 10 minutes. Okay.
Hey, you know the desk is a door.
Is there a doorbell?
I was about to say, is there a doorbell?
This is what I'm saying. Maybe it's right there. Push the doorbell.
So. If he can't find the doorbell, does he just knock?
Knock, knock, knocking on devil's door. She's now taking and putting the butt of the porg up
that's
against her mic.
That's where the speaker is.
No, I think it's in the front where his mouth
is. No,
it's
not. The sound was here.
That's a second appearance on the
podcast. He's porg sort butt. Of looking at me like sadly. And a little judgmentally.
So evidently
and I
we're not
out
reviewing
why.
The tick today.
Oh, the Amazon Prime live action.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
So,
why
so
not?
This is actually part two of season one.
Yes.
So it's not season two. They did the first six episodes and then they went ahead and released the next 11. It went up to 11.
It went up to 11. So they released the next five.
These go to 11.
Yes.
As they should.
So the, what happened was Amazon did three pilot episodes for shows, and then people voted on what they wanted to continue. And the Tick won.
Of course.
If you remember, that was when we did the Tick Comes to Charlotte too, because
Caleb and
once it had won.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to announce it, and of course Caleb Van Voorhees from Now Are the Foxes put on the Tick costume and helped raise $25,000 for a local children's organization to have stuff here in Charlotte. So that was very awesome.
Yes,
but you know.
So, yeah, so they released the second half of the first season.
So, yeah, so it picks up, you know, it's a there was a mid-season cliffhanger. And so what did you think, Carol? So Carol Starnes-Lord and I are the only ones who have watched it.
I watched it.
You didn't watch the second half, though.
I watched the whole thing, and I have to say I was taken by the beauty of it, the poetry.
You fell asleep.
No, I mean, the Tick dying of Lyme disease, I thought.
Okay, that would be the
show's over. That's all we need. That's all we need.
Okay.
Oh my God. So old yellow.
I didn't watch it.
Arnold or Arthur had to put him down. Lyme disease Tick.
Old Ticker.
Poor Arthur.
So we had kind of a mid-season cliffhanger, and then we had the second season.
Second part of the first season.
Yes. So what do you think? What did you think, Carol?
Actually, it's different. They're taking it a tiny bit more seriously than the other adaptations of the Tick, I think.
They're not making it as parody.
As parody, yeah.
They're which doing I it, like, straight-faced.
It's the Tick is obviously not straight-faced because you just can't portray that character as straight-faced. He's nigh invulnerable, and he's just a big doofus.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the characters around him are kind of taking things very seriously. I miss the sidekicks. I really miss Deflator Mouse or Bat-Manuel. I miss.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's a budgeting thing, and if now, you know, if it continues to be popular, if we won't see that.
I think they'll probably introduce. Yeah, because they introduce, you know, they introduce like Overkill.
Mm-hmm.
And
but, he's basically like Punisher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And then the group of what was it, the Fantastic Five?
Yes.
That gets squashed by the Terror.
Right. Right. And I have to say that I really enjoyed the second half of the series. It did take me a second because of the break to remember everything, because I was not, although I was aware of the Tick and the series, I did not watch the series the first time around or the second time. I didn't watch the 2001 movie. I hadn't read the comics, and I hadn't seen the animated series except fleetingly in passing. So for me, it was all, I was taking it as the brand new thing, where you guys have had past experience, which I think is a little different. So it took me a minute to remember who Miss Lint was. I mean, the minute she walked in and she got linty, I was like, oh yeah. And you know, so there was some of that stuff that I had forgotten in the 6 months since it had been released. Oh, so, yeah. But I really enjoyed it. I definitely loved that Alan Tudyk is the voice of yet another
the
character.
Robot.
Yeah. And I loved his story arc with Arthur. So
he's got the hots for Arthur.
The shower scene was hilarious and claustrophobic at the same time, because
it was pretty creepy.
Yeah. So there is a shower within the ship, which is also a water boat, but yeah.
Sentient.
Danger boat.
Sentient.
He's a sentient boat and water boy. But
let's look for him at the conference.
There is a tube that you can get in and be shot into the air towards the destination where you need to go.
Okay.
But that tube during the rest of the time is a shower.
Oh.
And I don't know, because it's literally like when the Tick's in it, he's like this. Like,
well, he's huge.
You can't see his hands are down by his side, and he's, you know, because it has to be somewhat airtight shoot you out of it, and then it becomes a shower. Now Arthur, of course, is smaller, but being the sentient danger boat, he comes in and he brings down a attachment that will scrub his back as he's talking to Arthur.
Oh,
washing
my gosh.
Him.
Oh my!
And Arthur is not. into the relationship the way that Danger Boat is. So.
Poor Danger Boat.
And that's voiced by Alan Tudyk.
Yes.
Yeah. Who, by the way, is like Calista's favorite person ever.
I love Alan Tudyk so much.
I know.
He's just really fun as a character actor. He's hysterical when he gets to voice, but you don't see him. So I've enjoyed a lot of his work that he's done with like Disney and Pixar, and
he's been so fun. His role in Moana was just like,
oh my god! Have you seen the behind the scenes video of him recording that, where he like you see him like clucking and bagawking and like sounding frustrated, and then he finishes and he deadpan looks at the camera and goes, "I went to Juilliard."
Best.
And it's wonderful. I loved him as K2SO. Like he's just really, really fun to
see. And as K2SO, he actually was in some of the scenes with the
because he was in the mocap.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was in the mocap.
So here he's just the voice of Danger.
Here he's
Boat.
Just There's a no really captured.
Yeah, I don't think he was motion captured in anything.
You almost said like moistened captured, and with the showers.
It's just him sitting in a kiddie pool.
Yeah, a boat.
Well, you know, and there's he would though. If anybody would, Alan Tudyk would do that. I am sitting in a kiddie pool to imagine life as a boat.
Yeah, but he definitely like there's a. There's an I-beam that goes around on a track, like track lighting up and across the top of the boat. Mm-hmm. And just, amazing, amazing. And of course, whenever I realize that it's his voice, I always think of the voice scenes from Con Man, which the series.
Oh my God, they're so fun.
Where he's sitting there trying to be the cool guy when he's clearly not the cool guy.
He's not the cool guy.
Of the game that he's trying to do the voice off or work for. He's like, come on, guys. He's supposed to be the jerk that you kill. So he's like,
why does my knee hurt so bad? Yeah, he never gets to be the fun guy.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so I felt that was good. And of course, the Jackie Earle Haley
is the terror. I thought was actually really good. He made him look so horrible.
And I haven't seen Whiplash, the drumming film. Hmm. But the scene where he's drumming makes me think of that. I was just like, I know that's a callback to that.
It is.
So, yeah. But you know, you think of him as Rorschach, which is one total character. This is just so different, the terror, and cracked me up. I love the big T.
His ship is just a great chassis. And his escape pod is a little T.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Is it Mini lowercase terror.
It's lowercase T. Yes, it's a little lowercase T that's his escape pod.
It's very electric company type of thing.
That's great.
Very electric company. But yeah, so I really enjoyed it. I give it probably, we watched it all in one session immediately after Starnes Lord sat down and said, we're not going to watch this all in one day. I'm like, okay.
You totally did.
We did. Yeah. But you know, they're like 25, 30 minutes. The first one was like 20 minutes. It was so short. We were like, what?
It's like, just press play. What happened?
I'm glad that they, for the actual season, that they changed the Tick's outfit. Because I think in the pilot episode, it looked a little bit wonky. But they redid it for the actual season. And I like Peter Stinowanawa. I don't know how to pronounce
that last name. Was impossible.
Sarafinowicz.
Yeah. He's actually, this week he has an interview on ID10T podcast. I tried to listen to it on the way home and podcast unavailable.
Yeah. But
unavailable.
He hides his accent very well because he's British.
Oh my God.
He's very British.
Every British person can do a great American accent, I think.
Yeah.
But not vice versa. This is...
We suck. Bad,
but it's a gift.
What did you think about like that flashback scene though, really quick, where the Tick's outfit was a little bit different color?
Yeah.
And like he was just kind of plowing through, like it kind of.
That was crazy? The pilot.
No, that was in the second season.
But there was a flashback to the pilot episode because they were talking about the actual
when he's smashing through
when he's smashing through the dock area. That's when he gets the stuff on him that actually hurts Superion.
Gotcha. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Duh.
So that's why his
it's been so long since.
Okay. So this was the one storyline concern that I had. So they never mentioned the fact that the doctor who injected himself with the stuff to grow he was taking care of Superion, and it's like, I don't understand why he keeps getting sicker. And it's like, because you have the stuff in you. But that wasn't the reason. They said the reason was because of the Tick.
But the Tick had it on him, not in him. It was like on his body. Because he doesn't take the Tick outfit off. That's just him. That's part of him.
Okay.
So it was actually like on. All right.
I still had a problem with it. Because I was like, if it. Because the guy who.
Tick so, don't poop.
No, because. Okay.
Took me a second.
Wait. I had. But I get what you're saying. However, the big naked man, B&M.
Yeah.
That's what they were. Brief, yeah. So
for everyone not have not who has have not seen this, who have I can't.
There's
talk,
a big naked man.
There's a big
just
naked man
is walking around the city and he keeps blue? Getting bigger and nakeder.
Do we see dick?
It's no.
You see butt. Oh,
you see butt. You see a
lots of butt.
Butts are always funny.
Big butt, and I'm Sir Mix-a-Lot must have not wanted his song used because it should have been.
Too obvious.
But so. Big naked man. I mean, it's revealed that he had it injected in his neck. Yeah. So why is being around him making Superior and sicker? That's because true. The doctor had it injected in
but
him.
But I don't
also.
Think the doctor injected the same formula inside of him because he actually shrunk rather than grew big.
No, but then he used that. That's how his head got bigger.
Yeah,
and his body.
But
stayed
I still
the
don't
song.
Think it was exactly the same thing because only his head got bigger and he was a big old bobblehead and he was dying because he couldn't hold his head up.
I know. Anyway,
this is the Tick people. Come on.
This was the thing that perturbed me. Not perturbed me, but just like made me think somebody has to explain this to me better. But I will accept your explanation begrudgingly.
Like I said, this version of the Tick tries to take itself a little bit too seriously. I mean, if this was the cartoon, they wouldn't have even bothered to explain anything.
No, but
no, it just happened in the cartoon.
It always made it funnier because you're just like, what? Oh, okay.
Yeah. But the thing about Arthur, you know, because like, I think the way that they're doing the live action is that you understand Arthur more by the way that they're playing it because it is absolutely ridiculous. And yet he's trying to make sense of it all.
Yeah.
But the other people, like even his sister, who's a normal, is like, she's kind of going with it. And like, his mom and stepfather, when they find out, they're kind of going with it, which, by the way, totally love the stepfather reveal and want to see where that's going.
Yeah.
But I hope it's not, doesn't end up to be something like, you know, Firefly, where we never quite find out what's up with Shepard. So, there was a Shepard moment in there. Mm-hmm. Where like everybody's blindfolded and this thing happens and you're just like, what?
So, well, I do think that this version focuses more on Arthur than it does actually the Tick.
Yeah, which I like better because I think that for me,
yeah,
I, you know, you relate to Arthur in a way.
In a way, yeah.
And so therefore you're like, okay, because I mean, it's a pre-established world where supers have been around for a long time. And you have somebody who was right there when 5 supers were ended and you have to make sense of it all. And the world is ridiculous and nothing is more ridiculous than the Tick who loves you and you're not sure you want to be with him. You just accidentally put on a Russian suit that's now imprinted on you. So.
What although, I don't know, that talking German Shepherd was pretty ridiculous, too.
I liked that.
I liked the talking German Shepherd. That was pretty funny. And, you know, I mean, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that you had a storyline with Overkill. Mm-hmm. It made me look him up on IMDb and see what else he'd been in, which I don't think I did that in the first half. So,
what else has he been in?
Cool stuff. That I can't recall at this time.
Trademark.
I've had pie. Stuff. I've had pie. I know nothing. I didn't know what Mount Rushmore was, so I'm coming down now.
That's a good point. Yeah.
What I do miss from every live action version of the Tick is ninjas. They haven't done the ninjas, which are like
maybe
part of the comic books.
That's the stepdad. Maybe that's
that could actually be.
Maybe the stepdad is leading into.
Because if anyone reads the comic books, the ninjas are a big part. They're just really bad ninjas. Because
they're awful ninjas in the comic books. They're so bad.
It's so funny because of the 80s, because ninjas were so
ninjas
like,
were the thing.
So it was
they
like,
were the thing.
Yeah, it was Daredevil, and then that spawned basically the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah. It was like a parody on that, and then the Tick had the bumbling kind of ninja
ninjas,
fake hand or whatever.
So he was holding a potted plant in front of his head.
So were
so
you
stealth?
When you were in school in the 80s, did did you ever have guys making paper stars and then putting staples
on
them?
Oh my God.
Trying to be all cool and crap.
No, yes. Because I bought a real throwing star.
Ooh, you were one of the cool kids.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. Everybody else learned how to fold them, and then they draw that S. You know which S I'm talking about. The pointed S that you use the six lines. Sticks. And then the stick S. We all learned how to draw that. Oh, yeah. No.
And then you told fortune.
Oh yeah.
You either live or die, but whatever that thing
no,
said.
No, but yeah, but there was like one that you did flat, and then kids in my school would put the staples on the ends to make them sharp and hurt you.
See, most of the time when I come across like, you know, ninjas in pop culture, like my favorite incarnations of ninjas are things that look a little bit more like that closing scene of Bowfinger. Like, I like really bad ninjas.
Yeah, that's why
they're more fun when they completely miss when they swing, and like the bad guy falls down anyway. Like, I like that kind of ninja.
Do you like Beverly Hills Ninja? That's one of my favorite. Every time I go to a Japanese restaurant, all I think of is Chris Farley pretending to be a chef, and I mean, I'm just dying. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think of Lucy Liu from Kill Bill.
Oh yeah.
The red drops.
Ishii.
The red drops in the snow, and then realizing that her hair is on the ground.
Yeah, the top of her scalp is gone.
Yeah.
No conditioner's bringing that back. I tell you, that's
And then how pretty the snow is, and just want to sit on the bench, but not near Lucy.
What an idyllic scene. Just let me avoid the scalp.
That would
be good.
Watch out for flying hair.
And then, you know, and then afterwards the thing with the woman with one arm rolling down the hill towards the hospital.
Oh yeah.
Because I'm not perverted at all. So I love that my husband's just sitting there with his hand in his head, like shaking his head, going, oh my god.
Yeah, he's
oh dear.
Totally.
He's gone full Picard.
About the tick because I've interrupted you twice. Go ahead.
She's looking at you.
Oh, me?
Yeah. What did you think?
I'm going to let you talk.
Oh, no, I liked it. Yeah. I do think it's a little bit serious, but it's still like so. I kind of like the deadpan, like sarcastic lines because I like a lot of that humor. So there's that other level of comedy going on that I always kind of appreciate. So
I like that the tick thought he was a robot for a little while.
Oh my God.
What's funny is like I totally got his reasoning because the robot acted sort of just like he did because he was all bulky and didn't talk much and was turning his head the same way. And I'm like, what? Just for a second, I was like, are they going completely bonkers here? This is crazy. Yeah. Maybe that explains why he doesn't poop, though.
That could be. I mean, he doesn't really.
Sorry. It's a big issue for me, yeah.
I don't think he sleeps either. He just...
No, he just is.
He just is.
We don't talk about poop club.
That's rule one. Rule number two.
There's number two.
So will you continue watching when they make season two? Because they are making season
two. Of course.
Absolutely.
I'll probably do it one night, too. Yeah.
I watch The Tick over other stuff that I'm very avidly into. So I stopped other things to watch The Tick.
Whoa.
I'm seriously now I want to go home and watch it.
Even though we spoiled a bunch of it for you?
No, we're good. I like the journey. I'm not worried about coming across little fence posts. Like I enjoy the journey of a story and I'm an old like Patrick Warburton Tick fan. And that's where one of my mottos, right? Not in the face came from.
and I thought that was prom night.
Oh, shut up. Also, spoon, right?
Yeah, he doesn't. He's only said it once so far.
There's only been one spooning?
He hasn't adopted it as his motto yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a little different.
That's kind of nice because...
You can watch him embrace it, I'm hoping, over the course of his story.
It's not a direct retelling. I mean, we don't want that, right? I mean, we don't want that with reboots either.
Although there was, there was one episode where somebody said, "Wee little puppet man." You're a wee little puppet man. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Ben Edlund, because he wrote Smile Time from The Angel. And that was what Spike called Angel when he turned into a puppet.
Wee little puppet man.
You're a wee little puppet man.
I remember that. Also, that fabulous eyebrows on that puppet. Like, wow, that really looks like. That really looks like him. That's creepy.
So for anyone who never watched Angel, there was one episode where Angel turned into a puppet.
Yeah. It was very weird.
It was a very weird episode.
I'm trying to go back and remember it, but yeah.
But yeah,
I can't remember the chair turning around and he's just sitting there as a puppet. And he's like, what?
You're a wee little puppet man.
And I swear I thought Spike was going to like piss himself laughing. It was great.
That must have been towards the final season because I don't think I ever finished the final season.
Late. I think it was actually the
Once
fifth
Fred
season.
Went like blue, I wasn't, I saw it, but I never watched all of it. So
that just made you sad.
Yeah. Oh, you're so funny and punny.
But there was one scene. I can't even remember what scene it was. Who turned into the puppet? And somebody said, you were a wee little puppet man. And I was like, oh, thank you for the callback.
I just love that whole writing style because of the fact that, like, yeah. I mean, it's just the right touch of everything. I mean, he was part of Veronica Mars as well, wasn't he? So
no. Yeah, and he also wrote a lot of the animated Tick as well. Mm-hmm.
So. Well, yeah, because he
Supernatural.
Wrote, Supernatural. Oh, yeah. Which we need to go back and can
We're
pick
so
it up.
Far behind, it's the, nuts. Yeah.
Well, I sort of gave it up. Like, I really did. Like,
no, we started fresh, and I think we're up to season 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I got to, like, 7 or 8, and I was like... But now that they're doing the Scooby-Doo crossover, I will watch it for that. That is what I want to do.
Oh, Scooby-Doo stuff is great.
Wow. Yeah.
You could totally do... What's her name? Daphne.
It's funny you say that. In the group of people that I do Scooby-Doo and Mystery Inc. with, I'm not actually the Daphne. I'm Shaggy.
Because she's tall.
Oh. I'm tall and awkward.
Yeah.
Do you do a goatee? A little...
No. I do a femme Shaggy, which is great. Yeah, the other thing was, because I do it with a couple of local girlfriends, including Amberl. Linnea, and she's got the Mystery Machine, and so we did it at Free Comic Book Day, I think 2 years ago. And she was raising money for the Greater Charlotte SPCA, and we had a Great Dane with us. And he was a rescue and a foster, and
I saw that picture.
Yeah, yeah. And the other gals were enjoying being with the car and hanging out in her new van. And I was like, dude, I want to hang out with the dog.
Right.
So I got slobbered on all day, which was the greatest. The dog I was hanging out with, his name was Apollo. And Apollo thought he was a lap dog. So anytime I went to go sit down.
Every
a lot
great
of
name.
Big, yeah. They're so funny. I get it, right? I'm 5'11". I totally get it. I'm the human version of a Great Dane.
Right.
Less drool. But he would go to like sit on my lap, but he would like back in like he was like loading in an 18-wheeler. And his back legs would be up off the ground, and his front paws were just sitting there. So he's just front legs, like a wheelbarrow.
Yeah,
like a wheelbarrow dog. But no, I'm a Shaggy. But no, I appreciate the Daphne. But I was never the like pretty girl. I was always like the awkward kid in green. That's me. I'm Shaggy.
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't think so.
Jordan's over here patting me on the shoulder. I'm like, no, it's totally
there,
cool.
There, Sheldon's here.
Oh, yeah. So cosplay is a lot of fun, but I think you have to embrace what you enjoy.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta know your characters.
And I always enjoy seeing you at Comic-Con because you usually have your cadre with you. So that
I do
you have. Last time I saw you, you guys were casual Muppets, Sesame Street.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
We did hipster Muppets.
Hipster Muppets.
Yeah, that was
hilarious. Did hipster Muppets, and that was really fun. I got to be Kermit, and that was perfect because I didn't really have to do anything new for that costume. I had all that stuff laying around.
But it was very
awesome. Those are the best.
So all in all, watch The Tick. You'll enjoy it, even though you've heard us spoil it.
I don't think we really spoiled a whole lot of it, actually.
No. There's a lot.
No, we were a little more
I don't know what the hell it's about, for real, though.
So it's just like you did a superhero named The Tick.
There's a superhero. He's named the Tick. He's big and blue and just like a tick.
He's nigh invulnerable.
Yeah, you can't kill him, and he'll probably be here after the apocalypse.
Yeah, okay.
And then there's this guy named Arthur, who is dealing with multiple mental disorders and on super anxiety meds and a bunch of other stuff. And he meets this guy, and the Tick decides he likes him and brings him a suit, or he finds a suit and he puts
it on. Arthur finds the suit and puts it on. And it does that whole Jacob and what's that Twilight baby, creepy baby's name where it imprints on him.
Yeah, so
Renesmee is the word you're looking for.
Creepy Twilight baby.
Renesmee, which is the stupidest name I've ever heard.
But anyway, he puts the suit on, and once he puts the suit on, it bio codes to him.
Yeah.
So he's the only one who can wear it. So at first he doesn't want to wear it. It's almost like a greatest American hero moment.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a show before your time. So stop looking at me like that. And then he keeps trying not to be the superhero, but then he's trying to be the superhero because his dad was killed as a result of something that happened around superheroes. So.
Okay. See?
There that was go. It.
Thank you.
And hilarity ensues.
Yes.
Because, like, dad's dying is always funny, evidently. So.
No.
Have you not watched the Disney
stuff? I know.
No.
I was like, no.
Definitely not.
Yeah, but isn't it funny how, like, stuff like that does get in your head? Because, like, Disney's, like, the parents, something all bad always happens to the parents in Disney. Disney
that's,
stories.
But that's a fairy tale thing.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a fairy tale thing. But if you're, oh God, my geek is going to show so bad right now.
No,
so I'm a Campbellian scholar, right? Joseph Campbell and the Hero of a Thousand Faces. And the idea of the monomyth that all stories are just the one mm-hmm. story. And that every one of these figures, every one of these hero figures in the story has to be able to, they have a traumatic event, usually death of parent. Mm-hmm. They have some sort of mentor who guides them. And eventually they have to move beyond the mentor. If you want to look at that kind of story, like that's what we get in everything from Disney to look at the life of Luke Skywalker, right? It's literally he met with Campbell. They talked about it, yep. right? That was a Lucas and Campbell collaboration to create a version of that in space. So
my personal philosophy is that I never fall in love with the leading man because there's always a leading woman to go with it. So I would always fall in love with the best friend. But I grew up with three older brothers who were really into more like ninjas and commandos and Delta Force and Invasion USA. And you know what always happens to the sidekick?
The best yeah. friend dies.
They die. Always. So every time I would get a crush on a guy when I was in high school, preteen, I'd be like, I can't date you. You're going to die. So, and I'm
Star Lord, Starnes Lord,
and I
watch
married
your back.
You anyway.
Watch so. Your back, Starnes Lord.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
No, I realized that wasn't going to come true with my first husband when I kept going, when is he going to die? I realized maybe I should just do something else, like divorce him. So.
Well, at least she divorced him.
Fight the power.
Reach.
Yeah.
He didn't make that prophecy come true.
Spoon.
I'm big spoon. All right. So thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. Don't forget to check out AspieCon. It's going to be April 14th, my birthday. Go to aspiecon.org. It's not all about
.com.
Me.
Dot
me.
Dot com.
Dot com.
AspieCon.com. Go there. Go to AspieCon. It's only $15 for adults if you buy the ticket online.
In advance,
and $5 at the for kids.
For kiddos.
And it's $20 for you if you go at the door. So going to be a ton of fun.
Yeah. Also, guys, every attendee is getting a swag bag with things in it.
What?
So yep. Swag bag.
Incentive. Do the thing.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, we will definitely be there and supporting you. And we hope you guys will be there, too. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Kilstofta. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.